If y'all would, please turn with me to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And just to give you a little background information about me, that way y'all know who's talking to you. As he said, I'm Bryce Bell. I'm from Lubbock, Texas. We go to a Bible Baptist church there in Slayton. I've grown up in church my whole life. My dad was the kids pastor at Bethany Baptist Church for about 25, 30 years, and until he felt like the Lord was leading us to the church that we're at now. And I was raised in a godly home. I was saved at the age of 10 during a family devotion, not family devotion, but my mom would always open up the Bible and read before we started school every day. And through one of those times where we were reading the Bible, I felt conviction from the Holy Spirit, heard the gospel, and knew I needed to be saved. And so as just a start of encouragement to you ladies in here today and mothers and those who plan to be mothers, you never know what impact you can have on your kids. Just teaching them the Word of God and just what the impact she's made on my life and holding me to the fact that a relationship with God is the number one important thing in your life. But without any further introduction, let's go ahead and get started today. I don't know if y'all do this, but let's stand in the reading of God's Word, John chapter number 6. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down through to verse number 13. And it says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." If you would, real quick, read back at verses 5 through 7. I want you to notice Philip's response here. It says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him," and that word prove is just testing. Jesus is testing him here. "For he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take but a little." You see, Jesus tests Philip by asking him where they can buy food for the people to eat. But rather than answer the question or do what little Philip could do, he only offered up excuses, saying, "This task in which you've called me, this task that you're asking me to do, it's impossible." Right? And Philip was so focused on his own talents and abilities and his own resources that he chose not to offer anything to Jesus rather than to offer something. Now, maybe this is just speculation on my part, but I full well believe that if Philip would have offered something, Jesus could have used him the same way he used Andrew later on in this passage, right? He even went to Philip first, right? Think about that for a moment. Jesus went to Philip first and wanted to use him. So you have to ask the question, well, why didn't Jesus use Philip to feed the 5,000? And the answer is simple. It's because he didn't make himself available to be used. Instead of offering anything, he just said, I can't do it. A whole lot of money is not enough to do what you're calling me to do. And before I'm too hard on Philip, I think we would all make that decision, but, you know, the task in which Jesus had called him was beyond his ability. And I've often heard Christians and even pastors will say, God will not give you a task that is beyond your ability to bear or some burden that you cannot bear. And I understand what they mean by this, but I do have to disagree, because God will absolutely call you to tasks and burdens in your life that is beyond your control, that is beyond what you can do. Because if he didn't do that, oh. I apologize. At my church, we don't usually stand, so I'm not used to that. I'm so sorry about that. But anyway, God will absolutely call you to things that is beyond your control. And if he didn't, why in the world would we need his help and his presence in our lives to begin with, right? God didn't expect them to have enough to offer. He didn't expect Philip or Andrew to have enough for the task in which he had called them. He only expected them to offer what little they could in faith so that he could then take care of the rest. Now, I could give you many examples of how we, too, can make these mistakes of just making excuses rather than offering something to God. But for time's sake, I'll just go in my life and say that I was called to preach when I was pretty young. I don't remember the exact age, but I was called at a church camp. And you would never have known it at that time because I didn't surrender to that call, right? I chose to act like Philip and say, God, my life is not holy enough. I am not good enough. I can't get in front of people and speak. I can't do what you're calling me to do. Choose somebody else, right? I said, I am not enough. And I made those excuses that Philip did. It wasn't until God showed me that he doesn't expect me to be enough, and at least not right away, but he expects me to go in his power and to use his resources and not my own, that I finally surrendered. Notice with me verses 8 and 9, and notice Andrew's response here. It says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Andrew made the choice that he would offer what little he could to work with to Jesus. And please note that what Andrew was offering probably would not feed even 2 of us in here. But what Andrew had to give, it wasn't enough to accomplish the task, but in the hands of Jesus, it was more than enough. Now, I don't mean to put anybody down, and I don't mean to be a downer here today, but I gotta say, what you have, your talents, your abilities, it's not enough for what God may call you to do. Maybe God's called you, maybe God will call you to a ministry or call you to move somewhere or call you to do something, or maybe he puts a burden upon you. And may I tell you today, you're not enough for that task, not on your own. In fact, we weren't even enough to save ourselves, right? And I think many of us in here know that, but as a Christian, you had to come to that point of understanding that I'm not enough for salvation. I can't save myself. I am lost and on my way to hell. We had to come to that point of understanding that it is only through Jesus that we could be saved. But that doesn't stop at salvation, friends, okay? It doesn't stop and say, okay, well, now I'm saved, so now I can just, God's going to just make me do it on my own. Well, no. God wants us to go in his power. He wants us to use his resources. We serve a God that has unlimited resources and can use what little we have to offer him in a very great way. But the problem is so often we choose not to offer it. Because we see ourselves and we take rightful account of ourselves and say, God, I'm not enough. And therefore, we think we can't accomplish the task. But the one thing we've overlooked is the fact that God is enough and that through him we can. And this is what Andrew does. He offers what little he can. And I need to say as well, God is more than sufficient to provide for our needs. But we must first bring those needs before him in the faith that he will satisfy those needs. Let me ask y'all a question here today. I barely met most of you here today, and I am grateful to have been here and to visit and meet with y'all. It has been a lot of fun, and I do thank you, Pastor Foster, for this opportunity to open God's Word. But I don't know what each of you are going through here today, if someone's going through a problem, trial, or tragedy. But let me challenge you with this question. Could not the very same God who fed the 5,000, can he not feed you? Don't let that slip past you. I'm going to ask that again. Cannot the very same God who fed 5,000 people, can he not feed you? Or is his hand somehow shortened when it comes to your life, right? I know so often in my life, I have to come to shame because I will say, I believe this Bible, right? I believe in this story. I believe that God fed the 5,000. But then when I come to a problem in my life, I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm not enough. And I forget that he is more than enough. Notice with me in verse number 9, and notice Andrew's question here. It says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? I think most of us understand this. There's something about us human beings that we want to know what's going to happen in the future. So much so that thousands, if not millions of people get so enamored with fortune-telling and zodiac signs and even professional predictors is going to predict the economy and things like that. And if we're not careful, we too as Christians can become so concerned about the future and what God may or may not do with what is offered that we choose to not offer anything. Or we'll make our offerings with a condition. We may say something like, God, I'll surrender my life so long as you show me exactly what you're going to do in my life first, right? But that's not what we see Andrew do in this passage. Andrew has no idea what Jesus will do with the meal he is offering. He only offers it anyway, in faith. So you may be here today and you don't know what God's going to do. Maybe God's calling you to do something and you're like, God, I don't know what's going to happen. We don't have to know everything, right? Just offer what little you can and he'll take care of the rest. We need to offer ourselves to God no matter what he will or will not do. And one thing I want you to pay attention to is the meal that this lad had offered. Most of the commentators and historians that I read after, they all say the same thing about this meal. This wasn't a rich man's meal. It was a very poor meal. And the thing you have to understand about Israel and the Jews at this time is they only ate about 1 to 2 meals a day. And they didn't really have a whole lot of food in store, right? They ate from day to day. So I think it's safe to assume that potentially what this lad was offering was quite literally and may have been the only thing he had to satisfy himself for that day. It wasn't like us here in America today. I think this is very hard for us to grasp here in America because for me, if I just give a meal, I can just go back home and raid the pantry, right? Or I can buy groceries. But that's not what this lad could do. He was quite literally sacrificing everything he had for that day, full well expecting that he wasn't going to get anything in return. But I want you to notice in verse number 13 real quick, it says, therefore, they gathered themselves together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Friends, that boy did not go hungry. And you know, this boy puts me to shame so often in my life. Because when God asks me to make a sacrifice, when God asks me to do things, my natural tendency is just to grip it tighter, right? For fear of losing it. I think, God, if I surrender my life to ministry, I'm going to be away from my family. I'm going to miss birthdays. I'm going to miss these things. But that's the call that God's laid upon my life. And I had to come to a point and a grip and understand. I wanted to grip my life for the longest time. I didn't want to go to Heartland Baptist Bible College. That wasn't my plan for my life. And for the longest time, I gripped and gripped and gripped. And it wasn't until God showed me that he can use what little I have to offer. If I'll just let go, I won't do without. I stand here today, and I'm not some sort of success story by any means, but I do not regret my decision for following God, not one bit. He has provided for me every step of the way. And this is not a health, wealth, and prosperity message saying that God's going to make you rich if you sell everything you have. No, that's not the case. Please don't do that. I'm just saying that if you make this step of faith and choose to offer what little you can to God, even when it may seem that you're giving up everything that you have, even if it may seem like you're going to do without, God will provide. There was baskets of food left over. God can do more with what little you have than maybe you're thinking right now. So to come full circle into this passage, I really believe that there's two examples given in this passage. And so when God comes to you and asks you to do the impossible, which if he hasn't already, he will, all right? When that happens, there's only two responses you can really have. You can choose to act like Philip and say, God, I'm not enough, therefore I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do what you want me to do because I don't want to lose this or do that. Or you can choose to be like Andrew. And you may say, I don't have all the answers. I don't know where this is going to go. My wallet is not big enough for what you're calling me to or calling me to give. But you offer it in faith anyway. Those are really the only two responses that we can have today. So how did Jesus feed the 5,000 and satisfy them? By using what little was given to him in faith to use. I'm going to close with this statement. I don't know, again, what each one of you are going through, if someone's going through a trial or if God's calling you to something, but I challenge you with this statement. Whatever it is, offer it to God because you are not enough, but because he is more than enough. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, if you don't mind. Dear Lord God, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the privilege and opportunity to open your word and to preach, dear God, and I thank you for pastor's invitation to be here, and what a blessing this church has already been. And God, I pray that you just use this message in some form or fashion, some way, dear God, to speak as your will be. And I thank you again for all that you do in our lives and the fact that you even offer your help to us, dear God. I am so grateful that you are enough. And I ask and pray all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.